Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW here on 1150 AM in Bellevue, Washington, just outside beautiful Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in Seattle, in the Puget Sound area, and the fastest-growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world with listeners in over 60 countries. Today's show will be really special because during the first hour from 2 to 3 p.m., I'll be interviewing Scott Lemriel, the author of The Sabres Agenda. Scott will be talking about new information about the Galactic Alliance and messages from our friend, Ambassador Trellian of the Alliance. The Alliance is a group of mostly but not all humans between 50 and 100,000 years ahead of us here on Earth technologically and between 30 and 50,000 years ahead of us spiritually. They're amazing, and they're all benevolent, and they care about us deeply, and they want us to help us ascend as a planet into the higher dimensions so we can create a truly beautiful and loving planet. On my radio webpage at outofthisworld1150.com, there should be a picture of Ambassador Trellian, and if it's not there, it will be there over the weekend, so you're welcome to check that out. During the second hour from 3 to 4 p.m., I'll be interviewing another very interesting gentleman named Dr. William Mount, a psychic and a famous filmmaker and video specialist who has literally hundreds of thousands of people following his videos on the internet, on YouTube. Dr. Mount lives in Tacoma, Washington. He's an amazing man, and I guarantee this interview should be really, really interesting. I really appreciate everyone's support for the radio program because Out of This World is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150 and just click on it.com and just click on it. I want to thank everyone for their donations of support and support, especially Marco in Finland, Judith in California, Marie and Alan Camino Island, Robert, Julie, and Louise in Bellevue, Washington, Randy and Jessica in Mercer Island, Washington, Darren in Olympia, Washington, Corey in Kent, Robert in Bellevue, Tom Frazen and Sig Singby in Norway, David Lowe in Singapore, Juan McGregor and Raj Shastri in Toronto, Canada, and everyone around the world who've helped me raise consciousness and make this planet a better place. I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including Crystal at the Crystal Voyage Bookstore in Tacoma. It's a wonderful place, and if you are in the Tacoma area, be sure to stop by their beautiful bookstore on 38th, just off 38th on Cedar, next to the Tacoma Mall, and the wonderful Orion Tech Computers of Bend, Oregon. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers for the show, and any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. With that, I'd like to help my many friends who've helped me, and especially my dear friend Carol's been signing my website, providing wonderful support, and my dear friends Michiko Hayashi, as well as Hiro Emoto, Mrs. Emoto, and Dr. Yasu Nimoto of the Emoto Peace Project and Emoto office in beautiful Tokyo, Japan, as well as my friends in the Galactic Alliance, who I know are listening today and who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, as well as my wonderful producer, Eric, and my station manager, Eric Kramer, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. I've started this, I have a spiritual mentoring program. I've been in touch with the other side for over 22 years, and I can help people find out about their past lives, future lives, contacting friends and family on the other side. If you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or I can be reached here in the United States at 509-750-9793, or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. We're supported entirely by donations. If you'd like to donate, please go to the PayPal link on our website at www.outofthisworld1150.com. Out of This World Television is also broadcasting three times a week on Comcast Channel 22 here in Puget Sound. We broadcast here locally on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Wednesdays at 1:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and Saturdays at 7 p.m. If you like to, if you're outside of the area, would like to see any of the shows, I think we should have about 14 episodes now up on YouTube and Vimeo. If not, they should be there. I know at least five were there 2 weeks ago, and I know that my engineers down in Olympia were putting more on. With that, I want to thank everyone who came to my Galactic Wisdom Conference back a couple of months ago. We're having another one on March 10, 11, and 12 in 2017. And following that conference on March 14th and 15th, I'll be bringing one of the world's most famous Hado therapists from Tokyo, Japan, a gentleman named Dr. Yoshi, who will be selling Hado machines and giving Hado treatments. In Japanese, Hado means vibration. And the theory behind these machines is that if you're physically ill or you've got some spiritual problems, the theory is that you need to adjust your vibration. And these machines help people do that. They're very effective. And for those who'd like to come to the conference, and if they register early before the end of this year, they'll receive a $25 discount off their regular admission price of $197. For information, please go to the website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. It should be updated by Sunday, or just send me an email that you'd like to register to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. If you'd like to register early, you'll save some money. And also, I want to tell you, Scott, who I'll be interviewing in a few minutes, will be there. And I've also invited both Philly Way Woodard and Zora of the Hollow Earth and former Canadian Defense Minister Paul Hillier to come. I really like Mr. Hillier. He's a man of integrity. He was actually friends with President John F. Kennedy when he was our president before he was assassinated back in the early 60s. And this conference should be really out of this world, something that you will not want to miss. I want to tell everyone also, too, that if you'd like to help out with the program, either my radio or television show, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. It's a lot of work to produce these shows, and I always appreciate the help. Briefly, before we go on to Scott now in Los Angeles, I want to tell you some wonderful events which will be coming up. From October 20th to November 5th, I'm sponsoring a West Coast tour by Michiko Hayashi of the Moto Peace Project in Tokyo. She'll be starting off in San Francisco, then going on to Petaluma, California, Mount Shasta, California, Ashland, Oregon, Portland, Oregon, Tenino, Washington, Olympia, Washington, Tacoma, Washington, and beautiful Vancouver, Canada, ending up on November 4th at the Listel Hotel. If you are in any one of those cities, please come by. The cost for the presentation is just $20, and I'll also be giving a presentation on what I call Messages from the Masters, psychic messages from Professor Albert Einstein, President John F. Kennedy, his brother Senator Robert F. Kennedy, Michel de Nostradamus, Mahatma Gandhi, Nikolai Tesla, and a host of other wonderful spirits. If you cannot afford the $20 fee, come anyway, because we're not going to turn anyone away who can't afford it. The main purpose of the presentations is not only to raise funds for the Moto Peace Project, but also raise consciousness and make this world a better place. If you go to our website at www.emotopeaceproject.me, you'll see the complete schedule there with all the different times. Also, I wanted to tell you there's a lot of other wonderful conferences coming up as well, including what's called the Eastern Disclosure Conference in Seoul, South Korea, on November 19th and 20th. I will be part of that, giving a presentation that will be held in downtown Seoul at the Seoul Youth Hostel, and we'll have a lot of wonderful speakers. For more information, please see their website at www.easterndisclosureconference.com. And even if, for example, you live here in the United States or Canada or elsewhere in the world outside of Korea, you'd like to go, for a small fee, you'll be able to see the entire conference stream live from Korea. So if you go to that website, easterndisclosureconference.com, you'll find out more information about that. Of course, the reason why the conference is being held in Seoul, South Korea, is because that's an area where there's a lot of potential conflict. I think that we are masters of our ship, captains we can create the kind of beautiful future we want if we so choose. And if we send lots of love and light to an area like the Korean Peninsula, where there's been decades of conflict there, I don't see where we're going to have any problems whatsoever, because the basic nature of people is to be loving, kind, benevolent. And I think that we need to tap into that energy, because as Professor Einstein has told me many times, love is the most powerful and wonderful force in the universe. And if we want to create a better planet, we just need to tie into that and use that. Well, there's also, too, there's a wonderful spiritual gathering coming up, sponsored by a wonderful lady named Kin Fun in the Kent area on October 23rd. And I'll be telling more about that next hour. She'll be bringing her on, actually, for a few minutes to talk about that. Then on January 21st in Olympia at the Washington RV and Events Center at 9101 Stillicum Road, there will be a free psychic fair. There will be over 20 vendors, and the admission is free, and I'll be also giving a presentation on the Moto Peace Project at 1 p.m. that day. So if you can come down, it's a wonderful opportunity to meet a lot of wonderful people, and I'll be giving a presentation. For any more information about these events, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com or call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. And with that, I'd like to ask my wonderful producer, Eric, to please play that short segment, the voice one, just real quick to start before I go on.
These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Anyway, with that introduction, Scott, is not science fiction, though. Star Trek was a science fiction, of course, series here in the United States, played in the 60s and 70s. It's a wonderful, I love watching old Star Trek shows. But Scott's the real deal. He has been in contact with the Galactic Alliance since he was 12 years old, and he'll be giving messages from our dear friend Ambassador Twelly and of the Galactic Alliance. The Alliance is a group of mostly humans, but not all, between up to 100,000 years ahead of us technologically and up to 50,000 years ahead of us spiritually. They are all benevolent and care about this deeply, and they want us to help ascend as a planet into the higher dimensions so we can create a beautiful, truly beautiful and loving planet. Scott will be at my Galactic Wisdom Conference again on March 10, 11, and 12, 2017 in Olympia, Washington. And if you can come, I urge you to come. Scott's a fascinating man. And with that, Scott, I'd like to welcome to you to Out of This World Radio. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing well, Ted. Thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure to come on your show.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you on. It's been a while since I've had you on, Scott, and I know that you have many, many messages from your galactic friends who, yes, I'm getting the message, they are listening today.
So, yeah, they always are.
They're listening today, which is...
They're people, too, just not from here.
Yeah, that's right. They're just kind of from out of town. It's like,
yeah,
like
they're from out, very far out of town.
Very far out of town, yeah, yeah. Do they, I have to ask you this, do they ever come down in a disguise and just kind of walk around and maybe have a cup of coffee or hang out at Starbucks
often, yes.
And just...
Mm-hmm. The people are trained before they come up. This is a dangerous world because the way people are in government.
Right.
So they're very highly trained. I think a 10-year-old on one of those planets, and there are millions of them that people on Earth have been denied knowing about, by the time they're 10, they have equivalent education of, say, 10 PhDs of a human being on Earth.
My goodness. So they could. So at that young age, if they walked into the University of Washington, they might be able to find, or UC Berkeley, they might be able to find a good teaching job. Is that?
Yeah, some of them already are. They're very, very good at, probably wouldn't figure them out unless they slipped up somehow.
Uh-huh.
And they also have a certain protection to operate here.
I see.
They don't do it to interfere with the governments. They do it to raise consciousness, like you're talking about, basically.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, I have to ask your friends off-planet, how are we doing, Scott, and what do they see for the future?
I would say the first thing I want to share with you from Trelly and friends and with your listeners is this. The way this world runs, media is controlled and worldwide, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
In general, it's designed to keep people focused from the time they're born till the time they leave this life on splitting their imagination in two ways. One towards obviously wanting to do well for their families and friends is a destiny for themselves. But they generally, their view of the future is kept in fear and doubt and speculation and theory, which is not normal for normal human beings, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And by keeping them that way, people actually tie into a negative stream, some of it's technological, that keep them from finding out who they really are, what they really once knew in the universe before they came here, with all memory occluded. And the way to start to get that back, and this is what I'm always shared with me from friends from out of town, is to get people to start using their imagination in the one proper way, and that is to only create and imagine that which will be of benefit to all life.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So right. When I you ask me, I think in general, where we stand, the world looks like it's on the brink of war, nuclear war, but that's not going to happen.
Right.
And
right.
It never has, even though governments will intimidate people with that threat.
That's, pardon me for interrupting, Scott, but that's the thing I object to on other sometimes talk shows.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to name anybody or anything, but sometimes they get into a little bit of doom and gloom. And I think it's healthy in a way to know about bad stuff going on out there, but to assume that we're going to blow ourselves up or get into a war or have conflicts is not the proper, is not a good way, because you help create that reality too if you
Oh, absolutely right, Ted. I mean, many world religions today, are the leaders of those religions are blindly encouraging their people to believe in and help create an Armageddon, because they think they're going to get saved somehow through that process.
Right.
That's just not true.
Right.
Because
right.
we're, like you said earlier, we're responsible for how we use the great gift of how we visualize things.
Right.
It's a godly gift, and it's one we're meant to use properly.
One of the spirits I've been in touch with on the other side has been Michel de Nostradamus, who's always he's always busy, Scott, and so I don't like to I don't like to interfere with his work. He always looks up at me and says, what do you want? So, but I'm not going to bother him now. But the time that I see him is December 1540, and it's a cold winter night in France.
Mm-hmm.
And but he told me 2 years ago that the timelines had changed, and now we're on a much more positive track for humanity.
That's true. And that was orchestrated from outside this earth.
Nice.
It wasn't done by the free will, so-called, of hidden leaders or hidden government or elected people on the planet, because they no longer have the true free will they're supposed to have.
Right.
So, you know, when people look at the world, they realize that who's ever leading them, and themselves included, aren't really going to change this world in time.
Right.
Fortunately,
right.
we are not alone, never have been. What is different now about what you just said is that the prophesied doom and gloom destiny for this world
right.
that goes back even to Nostradamus' time and before that
right.
has been significantly altered in the last, I'm going on 6 years now, the first time in galactic history,
right.
which means hundreds of billions of benevolent beings are now involved in helping to turn this place around from outside.
Mm-hmm.
That's significantly important for people to begin to understand, because they can also tune into this,
wonderful.
Become aware of it.
Wonderful. I have to ask you this, and I don't want to get too much into politics. I try to stay away from it on the show, but what do your galactic friends think of the U.S. election this year? Or should
They're
I even ask?
They're concerned about it. That's a strange statement for us to come up, but you know me, Ted.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have any fear or trepidation or concern for the destiny of this planet in any destructive way, even though it looks like it's looming on the horizon. People that are elected, if you watch the way they debate, they're like watching, it's the most disgusting thing, it's like watching a couple of deranged children enjoying having negativity with them and throwing it at each other. They're supposed to be adults, and this is who's representing, going to lead people? It's absurd. And people from outside the planet, they just chuckle. It's the most silly thing they've ever seen.
Yeah. That's true.
And they know, though, here's the thing, though, they're very compassionate. They know that these leaders and the ones that are hidden behind them aren't really in control of what they're doing, or as human beings, they wouldn't do it. So it's the subconscious things in people that need to be altered benevolently if they're going to change the direction as a political collective on this planet and join the great world systems out there and be given the technology to travel the stars, which would be freely given to people here if we didn't have such diabolical governments on this planet.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. One of the things that Nostradamus has told me, and I wanted to run this by you and your friends, Scott, is that he said in the future a centralized government will become less important because people will know how to act, and the need for tight controls on people will not be as necessary in the future.
It won't be there at all.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, people, because people no longer know, Ted, who they are as a being, not the body, what it is like, how to move it around, and what where they came from before they came to this earth, because they no longer remember that they knew about extraterrestrials, that they were one once.
Sure.
They don't remember how they got here.
Sure.
You know, no human being ever evolved on this planet. There's no archaeological evidence to support it. It's just theory.
Right.
Because the human being genomes and DNA that evolved human beings happened billions of years ago out in the galaxy. They were brought here. And everybody, when I share on radio and TV and, you know, at conferences, I share with people the fact that they once knew this stuff. And it's really hard for people to get it first because they've had that memory closed down. So, as you know, I try to demonstrate and work with people ways for them to access it in a special protected way. And I do that. So it becomes a practical issue for people to begin to experience and awaken their higher faculty of what is called direct knowing perception. The ability for a human being to look through the pineal gland, the center of the brain, as a being, and tune into things way out there in the galaxies and other realities and know things is a normal human trait, but not for people on Earth yet.
Now, I know that fluoride, many cities in the United States do fluoridate their water. But when you drink fluoridated water, I've heard that it actually ossifies your pineal gland, so you don't have the psychic abilities that...
It helps, yeah, it helps calcify the clear liquid in it so it's cloudy, you can't see.
Right.
In the pineal gland, there are little rods and cones like you have in your eyes, but they're for tuning into specific frequencies beyond Earth, beyond this reality. And so it's one of the best-kept secrets is what the pineal gland is and what it does. Then how the being gets in and out of the body and brings memory of what they're doing when they're asleep at night out of their body exploring. Or, you know, they're able to bring back awareness into this consciousness through that doorway. It needs to be downloaded, so to speak, into the mind of the person here. And if you can get that cloudy or occlude it or shut down its functionality, you can pretty much trap people on Earth. They don't remember anything.
Well, I know that the U.S. generally didn't fluoridate their water before World War II, and then right after World War II, it was actually started by the Nazis to keep inmates of concentration camps docile.
And by gulags in Stalin's country as well.
That's very
Because it calms down the prisoners. It keeps them dumbed down, unaware.
Well,
so, you know, seaweed and kelp and iodine drops, if you're not allergic to them, and other things can clear out that calcification.
Wonderful.
Which is very helpful.
Wonderful. And I know that Arctic skate liver oil taken for 2 weeks can also take it out, too.
I didn't know that. I'm glad you mentioned it.
Yeah, it's about $30 a bottle, and I use it myself.
Hey, now I'm finding out something new about you I didn't know. There are other things, too. You know, water that's intentionally, as you know well, Ted, from the Emoto Peace Project and other people who are doing technologies to charge water with positive, constructive visualization and thought. Water is completely piezoelectric. You can charge it positively or negatively, and if you charge that properly and put it in the water, it'll just go out and clear out all the toxins and poisons all that stuff. And it can work on the pineal gland in this way, too. Water would clear it out right away if it's charged that way. I just don't think most people know how to focus it on the pineal gland intentionally.
Well, I want to tell everyone, if people want to contact you, Scott, for more information about your wonderful work, I wanted to mention this now before we forget. Do you have an email or a website that people can go to?
Yeah, the best thing is for people to go to paralleltime.com. It's been completely redesigned and upgraded and updated for the great ease of the visitor. It's very beautiful with the new big images I have on the website and about outer space and a planet on another world. You'll see the second image. That is a tropical paradise on an ocean with a big planet and rings around it up in the sky. That's not Earth.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, is this a place that you've gone fishing to, or have you visited yourself?
Coming from, let's put it that way. People can go there, and there's a contact page both for media, and there's a contact page up there. People write to me. I'll get a special email from them, and I'll reply to them right from the website.
Wonderful.
And they can contact me anytime. Videos there of YouTube presentations, conferences I've been at, radio shows like this one, the two books I've written, The Say Raise Agenda, and also the Emerald Doorway book, one of the Parallel Time Trilogy, are all there with all the links to all the appropriate trusted online retailers if they want to get them. But I don't sell anything at the website.
Wonderful. And I think it's good to mention our friend Shastri. Did he help you with that?
Yeah, M. Shastri, Mooney Shastri in Ontario.
Wonderful guy.
He found one of my videos and offered to help me completely design that old dinosaur I had. and he did such a terrific job for several months with me on it, and we're still working on it, but it's pretty well done. And We're just putting a translate button on it so people from all over the world can see it. And I got that Google Translate thing from you, Ted, your website.
Oh, good.
We're going to use that, too, on ours.
Okay, wonderful.
And then that way people can just read it in whatever language they want.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah, paralleltime.com is just like the word parallel and time together, no space. Just like the two words are spelled, so it's very easy to remember.
Wonderful, wonderful. For those who are just tuning in, this is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle. And I have a wonderful gentleman on my show right now named Scott Lemriel, who's been in contact with the Galactic Alliance since he was 12 years old. One thing I wanted to ask of your friends off-planet, what do they see for the future, or better yet, what do they see for the future, and what kinds of things can we do now to make this planet a better place?
They see the future as we talked about, altered permanently. What has been changed that will change the history of this planet cannot be reversed by people on Earth. This isn't anything to do with interfering with free will. The fact is people from outside this planet became aware not too long ago in their own advancing consciousness that people on Earth aren't really operating from the true free will they were meant to. Which means they can't make decisions based on their real higher knowing to choose for themselves what to do with this planet or not, because nobody's doing the right thing down here.
So
that gives them the opportunity to intervene directly in a benevolent way. And that means that the first thing is people need to be able to find ways, which I demonstrate for one, how they can connect with this knowing and knowledge they once had that's been shut down. That's the first thing. And then they have to apply a little courage and their own true free will, which will surface through the technique I share. It absolutely will. And what I share does not originate on this planet. It's brought here from other worlds, from advanced races, advanced spiritually and technologically. And they use it themselves to keep from ever acquiring what we call a subconscious mind.
Fascinating.
Because a normal human being isn't supposed to have one. Subconscious means you're not aware of it. That's where people can be controlled through that domain.
Well, you've told me before, Scott, that in other advanced human civilizations beyond Earth, money's not used. Money actually is a reptilian concept.
It's a tyrant.
It's a tyrannical way to control people. Also, too, the...
It's actually illegal.
Money's illegal outside?
Yes.
You're kidding me. Oh, my God.
No.
Wow. So, and you've also told me before that nuclear energy is illegal outside of planet Earth.
Any kind of an isotope we use here has been altered to be like out of a nuclear reactor or manufactured separately from that to be imbalanced as an isotope so that it can be developed into bombs or weapons, that kind of thing.
Wow.
That's man-made.
Wow.
Any kind of radioactive material that can harm people is not used at all as sources of energy from advanced races outside this planet.
Interesting.
It's illegal.
Interesting. Interesting.
Nuclear bombs are illegal.
Wow. Wow.
So you really have to ask yourself, how did Hitler's scientists start developing something illegally? Who gave it to them? Who gave them an edge during that time period? And how did it illegally get brought to them? And where did that connection go after World War II?
Well, that's for a long program.
just the tip of the iceberg stuff. But there are answers to these things.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And the answers are for people to have good awareness. Not to make them afraid.
Right. Well, one thing I've learned over the years is that the white light is always stronger than the dark. So even though there are bad stuff going on out there, sure, negative things, but because the white light is always stronger than the dark, you have to realize that the white light will, in the end, will win out.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about it now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so Terrellian is a... let's explain a little bit about him for your guests.
Oh, how old is he, by the way?
Oh, Terrellian?
Yes.
Ageless. Actually, you might have a year figure on him more than I do, but
I got 10,000 years.
And he's much older than that.
Really? Wow.
That would be how old his body was before it was immortalized.
Oh, really?
And that was over a billion years ago.
My goodness. He doesn't look at... day over 21, though.
Like 30-ish looking. You've seen a picture of a wonderful woman. I think it was in Croatia, correct me if I'm wrong, Ted.
Yeah, Vesna.
Created this with my assistance over several months.
That's right. Beautiful picture. Really nice picture.
Yeah, and
amazing.
Got them right, that part of it. And then it's really her proprietary property now. It's her connection with Terrellian.
Right.
I don't really pass it around too much, you know. I might show it to some people at a conference or something like that.
Could you imagine what the beauty industry could do with the ageless techniques that the Galactics know about here?
Well, you know, a normal human being, man and woman on other planets, this isn't the Sayrites. Sayrites are more advanced than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually, the Sayrites are more advanced than the entire Galactic Alliance Council in the center of this galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
They're more advanced than several other smaller organizations that quarantined this solar system off recently.
Mm-hmm.
They're part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to do with cutting off negative tyrant extraterrestrial contacts with hidden leaders here, mm-hmm. so that they have nowhere else to go but to evolve.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not going to go out in space with nuclear weapons and tyrant intentions and go out and put their flag on other planets, because space, unfortunately for them, is already occupied.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's a great thing what's being done.
Mm-hmm.
And Torellian is human. We get our genomes, our DNA, from them.
Mm-hmm.
However, the Sayrays are 18 to 25 feet tall.
Wow.
They didn't evolve on Earth, and neither did any human being on this planet or any race that's on this planet.
What's their typical shoe size?
Oh, God, I don't even know where they get them.
Probably quite large. Yeah.
But they just, you know, if they're so evolved, they manifest a form, and he could appear to people on Earth that it would shock them, put them in balance. Their
mm-hmm.
energy is so high.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So they're very, very careful about that. It'd be mm-hmm. easier to meet a man and woman for human from another planet on a ship or...
Mm-hmm.
You know, have out-of-body contact with them at night, which is increasing on this planet now. Then to meet, they could spiritually meet Torellian
mm-hmm.
easily enough, telepathically.
Mm-hmm.
Physically, well, you know, he can manifest a physical body. He could shake your hand, but good Lord, your whole hand would fit around the end of his little pinky.
Sure, sure.
So
sure.
He probably wouldn't touch a person that way, but yeah, there's lots of ways to experience such beings.
Scott,
have never experienced any slight hint of any kind of negative stream of energy coming from these beings. It's all benevolent, all loving.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah. And I think that's our true nature, too, of humanity on this planet, is to be kind and benevolent.
That's loving. Our true nature.
Absolutely.
That's
absolutely.
When I say tyrants or hidden leaders or mm-hmm. covert leaders
mm-hmm.
aren't in control of what they're doing, because a misuse of advanced extraterrestrial technology got control of them subconsciously.
Now, you've...
That's being reversed. That's in the process of being reversed. I'm very delighted about it.
Wow, that's wonderful. Well, you've mentioned before to me, Scott, in our private conversations, that many people on this planet are actually implanted.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a little chip technology like people have heard about.
Right.
You know, people have got abducted, you know, and it's a mix-up of the grays or some hidden military stuff, and then they get DNA samples. And
right.
These little electronic chips were done... in an effort, this is odd, but it was done in an effort
mm-hmm.
by a hidden government military-industrial complex to try to reverse what was done to them energetically. They were trying to find a way out of it.
Really? Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting.
The implants I'm talking about are put into the field of energy, electromagnetic field, that is emanated from the being, which
mm-hmm.
is spherical shape.
Mm-hmm.
Like the soul or atma is actually spherical energy.
Mm-hmm.
Can it be destroyed? It's eternal.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be shut down or made to forget and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The implants go into what people call the aura.
Mm-hmm.
The aura that emanates from a person that people see isn't coming from the body.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming from the sphere that they are, as the atma or soul.
Interesting.
And implants are put into that.
Interesting.
Like putting something subconsciously in front of your vision so you see through colored glasses when you should be seeing clearly.
Okay, sure.
And it influences how they make decisions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Implants in political leaders don't affect their intelligence, basically, as you would see it, or their sense of humor or how they function. You wouldn't notice, but
right.
It affects choices they make on a global scale.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So that's the first thing that they're going about doing from off-world,
mm-hmm.
because they are adept at removing these things. First, in person's dream state, when they go out of their body at night, which all beings do, even if they don't remember it,
mm-hmm.
they work with people when their true free will is expanded, when they're out of their body, and get their permission to help them remove these more superficial ones that bother them the most in this life.
Right.
Why they
right.
can't remember how they got here and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point when they're prepared to not have terrorizing subconscious controls making them run from truth,
mm-hmm.
they can confront having the primary one removed, which was put into people before they came here long ago. That can't be done on Earth. But it can be done. And the means and ways to do it can be provided at the right time for people.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. If all the implants were removed, I think war would disappear, wouldn't it, from this planet?
If that was done on a global scale, everyone in the world, from Hidden Leaders, Illuminati, Cobalt people, covert people, the Cabal people, all of that would just simply drop what they're doing. No one would even pick up. They'd just stop.
Wonderful.
And reorganize the whole planet very quickly with help, direct, open help from people from off-world. And that's coming.
Wow. Amazing.
People once knew on this planet what a normal human being is. They no longer remember that for the most part. But when they do, and when they realize how many hundreds of billions of them there are out there traveling the stars, then it won't be such a it won't be such a shock for them at all.
Wonderful.
It's about recalling or remembering.
Wonderful.
More than anything else. Oh,
I wanted
Terrellian is smiling. He's a man of few words. He's purely telepathic, mostly. As you know, Ted, and I believe I introduced him to you sometime.
Yes, you did. Thank you so much.
A couple years ago or so. And he's more of a person of action. And he's in the background, but he is certainly sponsoring what changed, consciousness change went on amongst 5,000 member council of the Galactic Alliance, which is on a planet more towards the center of our galaxy. It's made up of 450 million plus highly evolved and spiritual and technologically evolved world systems that operate in 144 parallel dimensions in the physical universe.
My goodness.
They actually have the technology to traverse between these different dimensions. This is before the astral plane.
Right.
And they have worlds and systems they visit in their ships back and forth and all that.
Wow.
People on Earth have the right, and at some time they'll have the ability given to them to traverse those star systems themselves, the technology, the ships, everything, because it isn't about money.
Right.
It's about having a planet run in a benevolent way by its leaders, their most spiritually advanced ones usually in their world, and then playing amongst the stars in a harmonious, loving way, contributing scientifically and other ways to the benefit of all life, but not just all life on our planet, all life. That's how normal human beings operate out there. So I'm excited to do this work, you know, while I'm here.
Many years ago, I visited, back in 94 actually, I visited the Simaji Star Center outside of Zurich, Switzerland, headed by Billy Meyer.
And you went there. Yeah,
I went there, physically went there. Well, and it's an amazing place. And I remember getting these pictures that Mr. Meyer had taken of the Pleiadians he'd met. And he had men and women in these photographs, Scott, and they looked like maybe early 30s, about 30.
Right.
But I was told that they were ages maybe 300 or 400 years, because they live like about 1,000, 1,500 years.
Normal human beings in other worlds that have not had their certain genomes on their DNA covertly shut down like people on Earth have long ago, and then they just pass them on genetically. They live at least 1,000 years up to 20,000 years.
My goodness. My
goodness. In a form. But they're not trapped in bodies. They can get in and out of them. They know who they are. A man and woman raising children on another planet, somewhere in the Pleiades, maybe. Their kids are aware of this same thing as children. They remember their other lives. They remember what planets they were on. They don't have any of this unconsciousness on Earth and thinking that's God's will.
Could I ask you maybe a dumb question, Scott? Why would they want to shut down our memory to keep us kind of like worker bees constantly?
The only ones beings out there, and they're fewer number by far, that are tyrant races than benevolent ones in our galaxy and in others. But there are a few that are highly technologically evolved. The reptilian race are not true telepaths. They use technology to mimic it.
I see.
And humans are. So if you can, and your systems can capture or hold human beings as slaves, then you can bring them to Earth to establish Sumeria or Mayan or Egyptian or even Rome, little colonies, illegally, mind you, in some ways, breaking an off-world treaty about this planet.
Right.
And they can bring human beings here shut down from that memory. They're shut down their photographic normal memory, their telepathy, give them intuition, and leave them living 80 or 100 years and use them as slaves to make them worship these beings as God.
Right.
And they do all the mining and getting space-based materials off the Earth in little colonies that became what is known as our so-called history.
Now,
and every one of those cultures in our history are tyrant races.
That's what I was going to ask you, because I remember last year you mentioned that to me. In ancient history, we're taught all about these tyrannical races.
Bloodline, royal, tyrant, kings, queens, right. You got it.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Exactly. But we're not given any history about any kind of benevolent humans that lived on this planet.
Some people know about Lemuria,
which was,
for the most part, till the end, and it's part of Atlantis' early revolution that took over after Lemuria was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Atlantis was actually a colony of Lemuria, mm-hmm. two-thirds the size of that continent on the other side of the world when mm-hmm. the poles were different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when Lemuria was destroyed in the last polar shift, Atlantis was to all but about a 500-mile square volcanic island, which over many thousands of years grew to be the dominating colonizing power on Earth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then it was destroyed 35,000 years ago, really.
Mm-hmm.
A little longer than people think.
Right.
Not biblically, really. It's before that.
Mm-hmm.
Through the misuse of science. And mm-hmm. all of these cultures were influenced extraterrestrial in one way or another, good or bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there is history on this planet, but if you go back in solar system galactic
right.
history,
right.
there are many millions of years of cultures that have happened beyond many polar shifts on this planet mm-hmm. that have risen to the heights of Lemuria or further
mm-hmm.
that have been destroyed. The interesting thing about Earth is why it's such an experimental ground for races from other worlds, both good and bad, is because it has a cyclic phenomena that no other world has. Its poles flip over 180 degrees every 100,000 years.
I remember you telling me about that, yeah.
In 600,000 years, been six ice ages.
Mm-hmm.
These happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that was one of the nicest things I ever heard from Terrellian and experienced myself off-planet was that there are beings in the universe called silent mentors. They are so far evolved, humankind couldn't even conceive of them, but they are the beings who run the mechanics of creation.
Really?
The portals between dimensions, between mm-hmm. astral, causal, mental, planes above the void of the Buddhas, the physical parallel dimensions keep the galaxies spinning, worlds running. They aren't concerned in a human being's evolution so much as the mechanics of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And they recently went through a consciousness change.
Mm-hmm.
And they have suspended the polar flips of this planet permanently.
Wow.
No more golden age to iron age again for this world.
That's wonderful.
That's huge news.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
So when I say I'm not concerned about the future of the planet politically,
right.
otherwise I really mean it.
Right, right.
Yeah, because of what I know. Otherwise, mm-hmm. can't blame people for being afraid or in doubt
sure.
out here.
Right, right.
When you recover enough of who you are as mm-hmm. being, mm-hmm. the fear and the doubt get put aside.
Right.
A person begins to remember how they once functioned on a very high level, and they return to it, and then we can evolve from there further.
Sure, right, right. Right.
Which means you, Ted, as you know, didn't originate here on Earth.
Yeah, I've felt for many years that I've come from the Pleiades, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I've been
That's
here.
True.
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah, thanks.
We used to know each other there, you know.
Oh, wow. How nice.
In my book, Mysterious Agenda, it really shows people directly
mm-hmm.
how free beings from other worlds view the Earth from
mm-hmm.
outside
mm-hmm.
and how they live their lives there.
Interesting.
Something that will visually and imaginatively be a great benefit to people when they go through it, because when they learn special vibratory word that is brought to this planet from outside,
right.
it helps protect them in the process of awakening. That book becomes a doorway.
Well, I have to tell you, Scott, while you've been talking now, the entire studio is lit up in this beautiful white light. I know we're getting a lot of help from the other side. I always like to see that.
Terrellian just put his thumb up.
He did that.
His thumb's up, you know. He's a character. He's so far beyond he's out of my fathom of understanding. I understand the Thales. I understand their capabilities are tremendous. They have 8-stranded DNA.
I want to thank Ambassador Terrellian and the Galactic Alliance for all the help they provided you and as well as me as well. I know they provided mm-hmm. protection for us at our different conferences, and when I've been traveling, I look up in the sky, and there they are.
Yeah, I always have 3 ships travel with me to these conferences to protect not just me or you, but the people that come to the conferences travel great distances sometimes.
Right, right.
On their journey there,
right.
at the conference, and when they return. There's never any outside interference from diabolical, hidden black ops or anything like that.
No.
At these conferences, because there are powers that can suspend any technology on this planet when they want to.
Well, I tell you, it's so nice to have that protection. I'll give you a little story. When last August, I was flying from Seattle to Montreal for a conference via Calgary, and the flight had just taken off out of Calgary. I looked out the window, and there was a big ship.
And
I told the stewardess, and well, it was beyond her belief system. And then I told the pilot. Anyway, they didn't believe me, but I said, "Look out there, see for yourself. That's not a star, but they're out there. I know, and I'm so grateful for their protection."
Now, you know, when the ship wants to make the pilots and everybody else know they're there, they do one of these flyby things that you can't mistake.
Right, exactly.
And then, of course, everybody's made to shut up when they land, especially the pilots. They won't talk.
Yeah, they won't talk.
Too many have lost their jobs by doing that.
Yeah, I think pilots out there especially probably see lots of stuff in the night sky, but
they know better than to talk about it. Corporate-wise, they'll just be, from Washington, they'll just be given a commandment to fire that guy.
Right, right.
Because it's classified. The highest level of classification on this planet is not about spying or the Soviet Union, you know, Russia, China. It's about the extraterrestrial issue.
I have to ask you this, Scott. A lot of people talk about disclosure, and I was talking to some psychic friends here a couple of months ago, and they made a very interesting argument, Scott. They said that there's already been disclosure with Star Trek, with all these people coming forward about you, for example, coming forward with your stories.
Yeah.
So as far as a government coming forward and saying, yes, there's ET life out there, is kind of what's the right word? It's not going to be a big deal because people already know about the life out there.
Oh, lots of people. The percentage is still on this planet of people in the UFO or disclosure or covert cabal theorists and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The percentage of people that really are into this and exploring truth is still a very small percentage out of 7 billion.
Sure.
And so the numbers need to get raised significantly for this 100th monkey principle to be effect. You know what that is, right?
Oh, yeah, right.
A lot of people don't, but it's about these two islands in Japan, right? The monkeys lived on separately. And they didn't have any communication with each other. And they used to just, you know, people would bring crates of fruit for them to eat. If it fell in the sand, they would just eat around the sand.
Right.
And then one day one of them rolled into the ocean, got cleaned off, and he started cleaning his fruit first for eating it. And simultaneously on another island with no connection to the first one, the monkeys started doing the same thing there.
Fascinating.
That's the way it is with human beings. When the consciousness raises enough, it'll sweep the whole planet.
Fascinating.
But we're not alone in this. There are far more masses of beings involved in this focus now than just the people on this planet.
Interesting.
We're getting a lot of help.
Interesting. Well, isn't that great? I feel so good about that. Now, we've got about 8 minutes left or so, Scott, and before I wanted to let you know that in case you'd like to talk about any specific subjects, but one thing I want to address is the hue. And if you could talk about that, maybe demonstrate it briefly for my audience around the world.
Yes. Okay. First of all, the hue, what it does, is the first part of the word human. So tyrants have hidden it in plain sight, almost like it's an insult to people.
Huh. Interesting.
It actually is there for a reason, because on off-world situations, people are human beings. They send out the hue. Why? Because it is designed in any language. If you can sing it out or send it out in vocal cords, you can also do it with your imagination, even if you're blind or deaf.
Right.
You can get across to the blind or deaf person what it is.
Right.
Either imagination will affect it in a positive way to sing that. And it really is not native to this planet or any organization on this planet. Certain organizations have brought it out as an awareness, but they don't own, patent it, possess it, or copyright it. They can't. Because it didn't get created here. It's primordial. It is a fail-safe. It's something that people can, if you want, for lack of a better word, chant or send out a comfortable tone of their choice or even silently in their imagination. And it will connect through the pineal gland first to the core of your being underneath the implants, underneath the subconscious, and then connect that to the source itself. And that is a direct telepathic link that time and space are not involved in. And then it provides a protection, so this process of reversing what was done to people begins. And it is really important that people experience this for themselves. My words don't have any meaning unless what I demonstrate, and they do, and put a little effort into it, and are patient with it, be comfortable and treat themselves lovingly, and work with it. Because one thing that will happen over time, they'll discover the truth of what these words are for themselves by their own experience, not mine, theirs.
Mm-hmm.
It is the missing word in spiritual books. It's the first sound that created the whole multidimensional universe, and we, you, me, and everyone else, were involved in that.
Hmm.
Because soul, or the Atma, this energy form that we are,
right,
has no beginning or ending.
Interesting.
So we were responsible for evil and good,
mm-hmm,
and we're meant to be creating only benevolent things for everyone.
You know what's fascinating is the term human itself starts with H-U, hue,
that's exactly what you're talking about.
Fascinating. Yeah. Absolutely fascinating.
And it's hidden in plain sight. And why would anybody think that has any value?
Right.
Well, they wouldn't.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it sounds like this.
Mm-hmm.
You... very calming.
Mm-hmm.
It calms the nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
It fills the body with light and sound. It raises the vibration.
Right.
And it begins to awaken conscious recall of first the dream state in people,
mm-hmm,
psychically, as
mm-hmm
you're an expert in. And it begins to awaken doorways and memories and things long forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a little time. It's very gentle.
Mm-hmm.
Not a magic wand waved over someone. They have to involve their own true free will creatively in this process. Because true free will is involved.
Mm-hmm.
That's the free will they no longer remember.
Wow.
The one that directly perceives the universe, that one.
Mm-hmm.
So it brings that into play in the consciousness of the being. And it makes a person have strength over these misuse of extraterrestrial technologies, implants. It's better a person develop strength over their effect on the nervous system and then have them removed than have them removed for free because they won't learn anything.
Right, right. Right.
So when a person does it, it's best if they think of someone or something they love and they're grateful for in their life.
Mm-hmm.
It can be anything.
Mm-hmm.
A past spiritual master, head of a religion, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And spirit doesn't care either.
Right.
Because the hue is really a way to connect directly into the omnipresent primordial living force that underlies all creation.
Scott,
we're made out of that same substance, exactly identical in
every
way.
Do you recommend people do that a couple times a day or maybe five to ten times?
I would in the morning before you start your day, so it sets up a creatively imaginative positive construct for your day and opens things like a waking dream, which allows people to see signs and messages from divine sources that help them recover their memory.
Sure.
And at night before they go to bed, because what you do before you go to bed, what you watch, what you see on TV, what you focus on gets taken into your out-of-body dream state.
Right, right.
So it's good if people settle into something loving, get relaxed, take a couple of deep breaths, put all their fears, health conditions, fear of the future, fear of the planet, on a shelf in their imagination just for this time. You can always take it back.
Mm-hmm.
And then think of someone you love. Take some deep breaths. And then send out the hue four or five times. You know, take a pause between each breath. Goes on the outgoing breath. It's just like the word or the name Hugh, H-U-G-H.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds just like that, round and whole. And then you pause and maybe send out this statement. It's very constructed. It's constructed in a certain way. And it gives a communication to the source of benevolent beings out there.
Mm-hmm.
They hear it when you do it. So you send out something like, safely show me deliberately hidden truth on a grand multidimensional scale, meaning the whole creation,
mm-hmm,
and the much greater knowing of the expansive love within it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a call to recall, to remember.
Beautiful, beautiful.
And then you just... This works in a telepathic manner through the control center of the pineal gland, but it goes beyond that.
Scott,
it's communication between the being and that source.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. We've
got
about a minute and a half left, and I wanted to mention that, and thank you so much for coming on. My next guest, Dr. William Mount, is a wonderful filmmaker. He's an amazing man, and he's asked that you stay on for our next hour with him.
Oh, okay.
But in the meantime, you've got about a minute and a half left. I wanted to let you know that, so you're welcome to say anything you like to wrap up today's beautiful interview.
Well, it'll be his extent, and I'm there if he needs me, and I'm there if you want to talk with me. I'll just be in the background.
Okay, but is there something you'd like to say now to wrap up your interview?
Yeah, I just want to help people to if they would just focus on what was said on this show a little bit and try it, mm-hmm. give it 30 days, mm-hmm. And I would say a little bit every night, a little mm-hmm. bit every day. Mm-hmm. Things will happen that will make be unmistakable for them as
Beautiful.
Far as what it does.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, you know, Scott, I appreciate your work so much. You've certainly opened up my my worldview to a galactic worldview.
Well, we're all in this together, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
We are all in this together.
But I want everyone to realize that our future is very, very bright. I've been in, thanks to you, Scott, I've been in contact with Ambassador Twelling for about 2 years now,
yep.
more than 2 years, and I've also been fortunate enough to be in touch with other great spirits as well. And they all say that our future is very, very bright. And what's most the most wonderful thing is that the timelines change. We're not going to have World War III. We're not going to blow ourselves up.
No, they would have already done that during the Cold War with the Soviet Union if they were going to do it. But they
absolutely.
Were stopped.
Scott, please hold on, my friend. Please hold on, everyone. We'll be having Dr. William Mount in a few minutes during our next hour.